Psalm 35. Well, from verse 13 onwards, we have David really showing us how much he loved Saul. And he's reflecting, I think, upon the death of Saul. He says, verse 13, "As for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting." Well, the context is Saul. And Saul was sick psychologically. Remember, David used to play the harp for him when the evil spirit from God confirmed Saul's own jealousy against him. David was really sad for Saul, and he wept and fasted when Saul was in that situation, even though Saul threw javelins at him and tried to kill him. Then he says, verse 14, "I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brother." Well, who was David's friend and brother or brother-in-law? Well, it was Jonathan. He's saying, "I loved Saul like I loved Jonathan," and you see that in the lament for Saul and Jonathan together in 2 Samuel 1. And then the next bit, "I bowed down mourning as a man mourns for his mother." Well, this really does reflect how David felt when Saul is finally killed. I think you would have thought David would have just thought, "Phew, finally, that's over. Yep, God's word has come true. Well, he deserved every bit of it." But no, "I mourned," he said, "as a man mourns for his mother." What is unique about a man mourning for his mother? I think it is in that a man does not appreciate his mother as he knows that he should have done until he is mourning over her dead body at the funeral. And he uses this very powerful figure, and it is a powerful figure. I say this as a man who has mourned his mother's death. It is a very powerful figure, and he uses this about himself and his feelings for Saul, as if to say, I should have showed more respect. I should have realized the better side in Saul, and I didn't. And now it's too late. And the level of genuine love that he has for Saul, despite Saul absolutely being awful to him, trying to kill him and wrecking his life, wrecking his marriages, is really amazing. Well, even when Saul dies, this was not just on the cusp of emotion that he says this or did this. Over a period of years, David goes out of his way to show kindness to the family of Saul. He says at one point, "Who is there left of the family of Saul that I can show kindness, that I can show grace to them?" Well, he really does set a stellar example of love for your enemies. And even that is a poor shadow of the love of Jesus for example, Judas, for all those who turn away. Certainly, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It is his will that all men should come to repentance. So we imagine a man weeping for his mother. And yeah, I guess you've been at funerals. You've seen this happening. Probably been through it yourself. And well, this was David in his mourning for Saul. So he does reach this very great level of love for Saul. And yes, that is wonderful, but you do have to give due weight to the many, many psalms which are David ranting about Saul, absolutely ranting and wishing him condemnation and absolutely ranting about him. He had a lot of anger, David, understandably. He had a lot of anger with Saul. And yet he rises up to these peaks of grace towards him. And as I say, when Saul dies, I think it wasn't just a peak. I mean, he continued it. But his feelings are very conflicted. You remember 1 Samuel 23, 24, he's got the opportunity to kill Saul, and he says, "No, I will not." And he restrains his men from doing so. Then in 1 Samuel 25, Nabal won't give him any bread, and he gets furious. He says, "Right, guys, get your swords on. We're going to absolutely kill Nabal and all his household until Abigail restrains him, as he'd restrained his men from killing Saul." Well, you think, what was going on there psychologically? Sure, why did he get so fuming with Nabal? Why was he so desperate to actually kill the whole family? Well, I think he was transferring his anger, his restrained anger that he had against Saul, he's just transferring that onto Nabal and his family. So although David does, as I say, reach very high levels of grace and forgiveness, yet I think it was more a case of him restraining the anger that he felt, the anger that he keeps talking about Saul in the Psalms. And that is not ultimately dealing with it. The idea is that we are to forgive and radically forgive those that sin against us, whether or not they repent. That is the idea. Well, unfortunately, we have cusps of periods when we achieve this, but then it's very hard to keep it up. You may forgive at one point, but then not keep it up. As I've said before about Shimei, that Shimei tried to stone David when he's fleeing from Absalom, which was, of course, the judgment that David deserved. And David's men want to kill Shimei. David says, no, don't do that. He survives the rebellion of Absalom, comes back to Jerusalem. Shimei says, oh, please forgive me. And David says, sure I do. You know, it's all done now. It's all forgiven, all scribbled. Play on. But then at the end of his life, he says to Solomon, his son, pretty much from his deathbed, he says, now, Shimei, the old white-haired guy, I want you to bring those white hairs of his down to the grave with blood on them. Yes, sir, Solomon says, and he does that. So all you can say is that David didn't keep up that level of grace that he felt at certain moments. This is a challenge to us, and how can you do it? Well, I think there are times when man comes down very small before God. Just occasionally, you may have these moments that come up in life that bring you down very small. And then you are full of grace, full of kindness to other people, full of forgiveness. But you've got to stay down. You've got to stay feeling like that. And I feel that David didn't over the David and Bathsheba thing and Uriah and that. He did come to reinterpret his own narrative later on, and he seems to resent that he's suffering as a result of it. He's continually complaining about those who rise up against me, etc. Well, that was all par for the course. That was all what Nathan told him was going to be the consequence of his sin if he didn't die for it. And, you know, we are the same. The passage of time distorts our own self-perception, our recollection, history of stuff, etc. It always, yeah, history is only a matter of perception, really. And so, stay down, stay humble, stay small in your own eyes, and let God's gentleness make you great.